Choir. Thank you, Daniel. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. We've been thinking together about wisdom. And we all need wisdom for this coming year and for day-to-day life and every part of our lives. And so chapter 5, we're going to speak about a specific area that God is going to give us some insight, some wisdom for, and some understanding of. And at the end of our time, we're going to receive a special love offering this morning. Let me give you a heads up. We're going to receive a love offering for Amanda. She's fixing to head back to Memphis tomorrow, going back to school. And we just want to help her on her way. And she's going to be working hard and studying hard. And I know Amanda's a good student, so I'm thankful that she has a heart for the Lord and for ministry. And I believe God's preparing her for some things, so I'm excited about it. We'll have a part in helping that along, and so we'll do that at the end. All right, so we want to think this morning about wisdom for living well, and it's going to be especially in a key area of our lives. It's going to be in marriage, and it's going to be in sexuality. And I realize that's a topic we don't just touch on easily and quickly in the church sometimes, but it's needed. And the Bible speaks very plainly and very clearly to us. And I want to just remind you, wisdom is it's what enables us to take the knowledge that we have and apply it to life and to live our lives in a way that is pleasing. It honors God. It's a blessing to us. There's a lot of folks today who have knowledge. Some of them have knowledge of God, but they don't have wisdom. And folks, we need wisdom from God. If we're going to do things right, if we're going to live life God's way, we've got to have wisdom from Him. So we want to look at that this morning. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. If you found your place, say amen. And let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's holy word. Proverbs 5:1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? and embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words that we read today. We thank you for your love and your concern for us. And Lord, your plan for us. You have a wonderful plan. Father, I pray for every one of us today that we would seek your face, that we would seek you above all else. And Lord, that you would minister to our souls and encourage us and help us in these moments to listen to truth, to understand it, and to receive it. And then, Lord, to do what you've told us to do. So, Father, thank you now. We praise you and we love you. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Now, just a disclaimer up front here. I do not propose to embarrass anybody with anything I say today. So, probably would embarrass myself more than anyone else. I've heard some preachers get up. Some of y'all remember Brother Wayne Davis from years ago. And I remember Brother Wayne getting up one night in a church service at Cedarville and being very frank. And, of course, if you know Brother Wayne, he had a way of being very upfront and speaking the truth. And so anyway, but I don't want to skirt the issue. I want us to address something that needs to be addressed within the body of Christ and for our world at large, because people are struggling with this entire area today of sexuality. And it is creating enormous problems in every area of society, and especially within the family. And so what I would just say to you up front is God made us and He gifted us with a beautiful gift called sexuality. And when you do it God's way, it is blessed and it is wonderful and it is amazing. But when you get outside of His boundaries and you begin to do your thing the way you want to do it, you're inviting pain and misery and destruction. And that's basically what the writer here gives us. So let's think about walking in wisdom, first of all. Here's some keys to walking with God and receiving His wisdom. So just walk with me now through this passage for a moment. And notice verse 1. He says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom." Pay attention. Pay attention. Be attentive. Now, that requires something. I understand. In order to really pay attention, that requires that we understand we need to hear. Okay? So, I get that. But pay attention. Take in the Word of God. You say, "Well, preacher, this is your idea." No, this is the Word of God. I'm going to give you as best I can the Word of God today. And so pay attention. And then also in verse 1, he says, "And bow thine ear to mine." Listen. Listen closely. Listen carefully. Notice in verse 7, he says, "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children. Listen and do not turn away. Don't depart from the words of my mouth." Notice in verse 8, he says, "Stay away from evil. Don't go near those places. Don't allow those things to influence you. Don't allow that the enemy to have access into your life. Stay away from those things." Notice in verse 12, he says, "How have I hated instruction?" Well, we could take that in a positive way. We could say it, love discipline. Love correction. I mean, I realize we all get up in the morning and, "Oh, Lord, how I love to be corrected." There's something within us that doesn't love correction. We don't like discipline. But we need it. We need it. There's a reason that these parents are paying such careful attention to their little toddlers that you'll see around church. There's a reason. It's because if they don't teach them to obey and they don't teach them to do what their parents are saying, it's going to put them into harm's way. It's going to create potential for them to be injured or even killed. You know, it's one thing to smile and laugh when a child disobeys. And I've seen this done. Oh, look at that. How cute. He looks just like you when he does that. And I've seen parents chasing their child. You come back here. Folks, it gets serious when they run out into the street. And they don't understand that you are disciplining them for their good. You are protecting them from something that they don't even understand and they don't even grasp. And folks, that's what God does with us. He protects us. He disciplines us for our own good, for our own well-being. And He's not doing it to in any way hurt us or deny us anything or to keep us from joy or pleasure or having a fun life. It isn't that at all. He's protecting us from the evil that is present in our world. Well, verse 13, here's another one we love. Solomon says, "You've not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ear." We could say this as obey your teachers and listen to your mentors, the ones who are trying to help you, trying to guide you, trying to give you direction. Well, folks, this is God's plan for us. And God puts teachers into our lives. School teachers, Sunday school teachers, parents. He puts people all around us and they're there to help us, to encourage us. Pay attention. Listen. There's a tendency sometimes to roll our eyes. I know all this. You can't tell me anything. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if that's your attitude, you're in for some hard knocks. Pay attention. Listen. Glean everything. Get everything you can get from the Word of God as you read it. From the pastor as he teaches, or the Sunday school teacher, or your mom or dad, or whoever it is that's encouraging you, your youth pastor, your youth leaders, whoever it may be, get everything you can get. Because God has designed for this life to be full of joy and contentment and peace. But as you look around you, let me just ask you, how many of you see joy and contentment and peace in the lives of people? I mean, at large, just, you know, people that you meet, people that you know, sometimes even within our own lives, we're not experiencing what God has to give us because we're not paying attention. We're not listening. So, here are some of the dangers of living without wisdom. Here's some of the dangers that we're going to encounter. And one we're introduced to in this passage is verse 3, the lips of a strange woman. They drop as a honeycomb. They're sweet as honey. Not much sweeter than honey. And boy, the words of this temptress, this seductive voice, drips with honey. And it leads you along. It draws you in. It causes you to desire this. And the Bible says that her mouth is smoother than oil. I mean, let's be honest. There are some temptations that you're going to encounter in this world, in this life, and they are powerful. And you may think that you're okay. You may think that you're immune. You may think, that's not a problem for me. I know that's a problem for other people, but I don't have a problem. And let me just say to you, we all have areas of temptation where we have weakness. But you could potentially have a problem in any area. There's no guarantees here. Well, the enemy will bring that temptation to you. He will wrap it up. He will disguise it. He will make it so alluring. He will make it seem so good, so pleasing, so wonderful, something that you can't live without. And how could they deny me this pleasure anyway? Because that's the other side of this. As a young person, sometimes you may feel like, well, why would they tell me I can't enjoy this pleasure? Why can't I do this thing that I want to do? Well, folks, it's because God, the supreme God of the universe, your Creator, the one who made you, the one who loved you enough to die on a cross for you, He's given you some boundaries, some guidelines to live by. And if you will do them, you will be blessed. You will find joy, and you'll find happiness, and you'll find that contentment and that peace and the wonder that only God can bring into your life. And I want to encourage you to reach for that, to grasp that. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 14, James gives us the process of temptation. It's not wrong to be tempted, okay? It's not a sin to be tempted. But it is a sin if you allow that thought to linger and you begin to think about it and you begin to consider it and you begin to mull it over. But here's what James says. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desire, and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And here's the problem. We all have desires within us. And God's given us desires. And desires are not evil. You know, we sometimes get this sensation within us, and a member of our body begins to growl. Have you ever experienced this? You may hear it before you leave the service today. You'll be looking, oh my goodness, what is that? There's a wildcat loose under the pew here somewhere. No, it's Clinton's stomach. And we have this desire within us for food. Amen, Brother Garland? Amen. Amen. And it's a good desire. God gave you this desire. And every desire that you have in life, guess what? God has created a righteous fulfillment of that desire. And so when you get hungry, guess what? There is something called food. And it's good. Sometimes. Most of the time. Occasionally, maybe not. But And even there, though, you can take a good desire and you can make it into something that's bad. I mean, I don't want to get too heavily into this, because after all, we are Baptists. You know, we like to eat, but, you know, if we're not careful, we can abuse that. It's a good desire. God gave it to us so that we would have energy and our bodies would function and we'd be healthy. And we could grow, we could move and serve and function, and that's all good. But now, you know, if I'm consuming a gallon of Bluebell a day, that's probably not what God intended. You know, in heaven I might get away with that. I don't know what flavors they have up there, but it's bound to be better than anything we've encountered here. Better than Millennium Crunch. Even better than banana pudding ice cream. And so, I mean, you know, there's good stuff. God, for every desire that God gives you, there's a righteous fulfillment of that desire. But there's also the possibility that the enemy will come in and our own flesh will come in, and that good desire will be somehow changed into something that's bad. And it's the same with the sexual desire. Now, that's specifically the context here we're looking at. But God created us sexual beings. He gave us that gift. He made it. It's not bad. It's not wrong. It's not dirty. It's a wonderful gift. It's a blessing from God. And God isn't shocked by it. God created it. He created your body to be able to function in that way and to enjoy that intense fellowship with your husband or wife. But folks, what we've got to understand is that we've got to bring our desires under the control of the Spirit of God, no matter what desires we're talking about. You may have a desire in a vocational field. You want to be a dentist. Okay, and you're stuck on the island of misfit toys and you want to be a dentist. And, well, it's a rough crowd. God may well put that desire within you. But you can take that desire and you can allow that to begin to rule your life. And even take priority over your relationship with the Lord. And that's wrong. I mean, there are ways that every desire we have can be perverted in some way. And that has certainly happened with sexual desire. We need to understand that God has a righteous fulfillment for that desire. And His plan is for a man and a woman. He says in Genesis 2, a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Be united with his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. And it's a beautiful picture of the relationship of Jesus Christ with the church. And so there's a wonderful spiritual truth in this, as well as a blessing for us, relationally. But, what we see today is people are trying to tear down marriage in every conceivable way. And, some have said, well, the divorce rate is down. But the corollary to that is that the marriage rate is also down. More and more people are living together, enjoying the benefits of marriage without the responsibilities and the obligation of marriage. And so a lot of people today would say, well, what's so big about that? You don't want to make sure you're compatible. And to that, I would simply say, no, living together before marriage is simply preparing for a divorce later on. Because what you're doing is you're breaking God's law. You're breaking God's law with each other. And if you're willing to break God's law now, what's to say that you won't be willing to break God's law later after you get married? What's the big deal? You cheated before with this person. Why would it seem unusual that you would cheat later on with someone else? And so you'll read in the newspaper, the letters to Dear Abby, oh, I don't understand. My boyfriend and I have been living together for 2 years, but now he's cheating. Well, of course he's cheating on you. Because you've both been living your life as though you were God, you are making the rules, and you're not. And so we need to back up. We need to come back to the place where we say, okay, Lord, what's your plan for life? What's your plan for how I'm to live? What's your plan for marriage and for sexuality and the whole thing? Because here's the key. This area of sexuality, it's unlike any other sin that you may find. I mean, there's some strong sins out there. There's some addicting sins. But sexuality and sexual sin is very difficult to overcome. It is very difficult. Because basically, here's what happens. When there is sexual sin, you're sinning against God. Well, that's obvious. All sin is first and foremost against God. But secondly, you're sinning against that other person. It's a sin against them. If you're not married to them, you have no right to be with them. And then, thirdly, you're sinning against your own body. I mean, there is a spiritual process going on here that is far from what it ought to be. And the danger is that you find yourself so immersed in that mentality, that culture, and that habit, that it's very difficult to break loose from. Now, it is possible. It's absolutely possible. You say, well, man, I've messed up. Well, a lot of us have. And God is able to help you. I mean, you know, that's not the end of the world. Don't feel like, oh, you know, I'm no good. No. Just come back to the Lord and say, God, I need you to establish me in life and to help me to be the person you want me to be. Well, so here's some things that we notice from God's Word about this area of sexual temptation. Number one, it's a trap. It is a trap. And there are many today who are caught. If you've ever come up on an animal who's been caught in a trap, it's kind of a pitiful sight. Unless you're, you know, there to collect the fur. But, man, people are caught in this trap, and it's a very effective one. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. There's that woman again. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Man, we need to understand how important this is. We need to guard our hearts and our minds and our eyes. We need to protect ourselves from the influences, the temptations that are going to come. You say, oh, well, preacher, I'm older now. Doesn't matter. The enemy is still able to work on you. We're not just talking to young people today. Another danger in this area is that it is a path that leads to hell. Proverbs 5:5 says, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. But thirdly, it is like deliberately wounding and burning yourself. And a rather lengthy passage in chapter 6, starting in verse 20. And I won't read the whole thing. But it says, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Well, it continues. There is a trap that the enemy is placing in front of people, and it is destroying many. And that's what this next passage in Proverbs chapter 7 gives us, starting in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 7 and starting in verse 6. He says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, Let us take our fill of love until the morning, and let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman, that is my husband, is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now. It will destroy you. You may think, oh, I can handle this. It's no big deal. After all, no one knows about it. It will destroy you. It will destroy your life. It is a pit. It is a trap. It is something that we need to be aware of. And ultimately, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 gives us this statement. It says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. And the word there for bed is very related to the sexual act itself. So marriage is honorable, and the marriage bed is undefiled. It is a blessing. It is a joy. But he says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Folks, sexual sin has consequence. It has a consequence here and now. We're going to suffer. We're going to struggle. We're going to have regret. We're going to have guilt. We're going to have pain. We're going to have frustration. We're going to have fear. We're going to have all these things that are going through us. But one day we will stand before God and we will give an account. And God will judge all for their sins. Now, when you come to Christ, we're saved. Our sins are forgiven. They're washed away in the blood of the Lamb of God. We heard sung about earlier. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Doesn't that mean I'm okay? Folks, the wages of sin is still death. Okay? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're exempt from any discipline from God. In fact, because you are a Christian, God will discipline you as His child. He won't discipline the devil's children the same way. But if you're a child of God, He will, first of all, convict you. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart and He will say, this is wrong. You shouldn't be looking at this website. You shouldn't be going here. You shouldn't be talking to this person. They're not good for you. You shouldn't be in this relationship. You should not be doing this. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And He will help you. Now, that's believers, okay? That's to a child of God. You've been saved. But, and at that point, if we say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. God, help me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to displease You. I want to honor You and obey You. And at that point, the discipline is over. It's done. We can have fellowship with God again. We can be restored. But if we harden our heart, if we say, I want to do what I want to do, then it becomes more serious. And the Bible says that God disciplines us. He deals with us as sons. And the ultimate word there that He uses, it says He scourges us. The word scourge is the same word that was used for the beating that Jesus took. Doesn't mean He's going to have your skin off. He's going to whip you like Jesus did, but He's going to punish you. You say, wait a second. I thought God was this wonderful, sweet, loving God. He is. That's why He's punishing you. It's that toddler thing again. Because He knows that we're going to destroy ourselves. He knows that we're going to tear up our life. We're going to destroy our witness. We're going to condemn lost people around us to hell because our testimony is shot. And He doesn't want us to go through that. He wants us to be turned around, to be changed, to be different, to be made new. And so God disciplines us. He scourges us. And ultimately, if we keep saying no to God, here's what's going to happen. God will say, enough. I'm bringing you home. And He'll take you home early. Wow, surely God wouldn't do a thing. The Bible says there is a sin unto death for a believer. And if you don't believe me, ask Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Spirit and they lied to the apostles and they both fell down dead. And folks, don't think, oh, well, you know, nobody knows. It's no big deal. It's not a problem. It's a problem. And folks, it doesn't start with this huge wildfire of immorality. Okay? You know, when you see some forest fire engulfing thousands of acres of land, please understand, that didn't start with some great, huge thing. It started with some small, little spark. Just a small thing. And lit one thing. But it grew from there. It spread from there. And it's the same with sexual sin. When you allow compromise in your heart and in your mind, you've already opened the doorway to the enemy. And you're on the path. And so, here's the good part. You can say, man, preacher, this is kind of, you know. No, there's some really good stuff in this. So I want you to go back to chapter 5 for a moment and just look with me at God's design and God's plan, because it's always best, it's always right. And in all of this, let me say, there's some of you who are single, and some of you single by choice and some not by choice, but you know, that's where you are. And man, I understand that and I respect that. And I appreciate the fact that God is able, when you're single, God is able to do things in you that He really won't be able to do once you're married. Really, you'll have more freedom to serve the Lord now. You may not feel that way sometimes, but you have more freedom now to serve the Lord than you will when you're married later. And embrace that. Thank God for this season of your life. If He has something else for you, then He'll bring it. And trust Him. Trust Him to do it. Don't try to help Him out. Don't try to do it for Him. Let Him work all of this out. Okay. Back in chapter 5, notice verse 15. Solomon says, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. And folks, what that means is that a husband is to have his wife and wife is to have her husband. And they're to be together and it's exclusive. They're to be only with each other. It is a matter of loyalty and of honoring one another and honoring the Lord. And you say, Brother Tim, is that what that's really talking about? Yes. The Bible is very frank sometimes and quite explicit. And we shouldn't be embarrassed by that. You know, there's no such thing as free sex or sexual liberty to do whatever. There's pleasure in sin, the Bible says, for a season, for a time. But even that will go away. Even that will go away. It's short-lived. It leaves guilt. It leaves regret. It leaves fear in its place. So God has a plan for us here. In verses 15 through 23, He gives us a plan. Verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind. The beautiful deer is the way the Bible pictures her. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished. And the word literally means intoxicated. So there you go, husbands. Now, here's what we want to come down to. We're going to wrap this up. Verse 21. And notice this with me. It says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And what that means is that God knows all your ways. God knows things. The preacher doesn't know. Mom and Dad don't know. Your brother, your sister may not know. Your wife doesn't know. Your husband doesn't know. God knows. He knows us. Inside and out. He knows our rising up, our sitting down. He knows everything that happens in our life. Everything that's going on. And it says, and He pondereth all His goings. And so, here's the thing I would encourage you to accept today and realize. It is that God knows where you are. And if there's an area of sin in your life, it may not be an area of sexual temptation at all. It may be something entirely different. It might be gossip, envy, bitterness, anger. It could be a lot of things. Greed. Could be a lot of things. But whatever it is, if God is dealing with your heart about some area of life, understand God knows all about it. You can't hide it from Him. He knows you. He knows every thought. He knows what you've been thinking during this sermon. He knows the secret things. This isn't bad. It's good. It's good because it makes us realize there's someone greater than we are. There's someone higher than we are. There's someone that we are going to give an account to someday. In fact, we give an account to today, every day. Well, sexual sin is very, very powerful. But folks, God didn't give us this wondrous gift so that we would fall into traps and struggle and have pain. He created it for the greatest blessing in life. And so I want to encourage you to treat it for what it is. Understand what it is. Because in our world today, the world will say, oh, it doesn't matter. If you have sex before marriage, no big deal. Some would say, if you have sex outside of marriage, you're married but you want to have sex with somebody else, that's no big deal. You deserve to be happy. You deserve happiness. Well, folks, I want to suggest to you, God has the plan for our happiness. And if we'll follow His guidelines, His book, His plan, you'll find joy and happiness and contentment that you can find nowhere else. And it's interesting because you won't hear this from, you know, the media today, but a study that they did a number of years ago found that the people in all of the survey who were most sexually satisfied, listen to me, were married people in a monogamous relationship with their husband or wife. Those were the most satisfied of everybody. And the world will paint a very different picture. It's a trap. Don't go there. You'll follow after this thing and suddenly, before you know it, you're caught. And I want to encourage you today, if you're already there, turn. Turn to the Lord right now and ask for His help. Ask for His strength. He is able to set you free. He is able to deliver you. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to open up your heart and invite Jesus Christ to save you, forgive you of all your sins. But that requires you to repent of your sin. That requires you to turn, have a change of thinking, a change of attitude about your life and about your sin, and realize, I'm not God. And I don't make the rules. And I need God. I need Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and to save me from my sins, to change me. And the Bible says He will. God is so good. He's so loving. Maybe there's some Christians would say, man, I've never done anything, but I've thought about things. You know what? There's nobody perfect in this room. Not one of us. But Jesus said it like this. He said, if you've looked at a woman to lust after her in your heart, it's as though you'd already committed adultery with her. Treat it with that kind of attention. It's not okay. It's not okay. And we want to be pleasing to God. We want to honor Him. I want to invite you this morning, Christian, if that's you, turn to Him. And say, well, I'm kind of ashamed. You don't have to tell me about it. You need to tell Him about it. Get it right with God. Let's bow our heads. This altar's here. If you feel the need, you make an altar where you are. If you need prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. But whatever it is that God's saying to you, you answer His call. Father, in this moment, I'm thankful, Lord, that You've given us Your Word. You've given us the plan. But Lord, the distractions and the traps are out there, Lord, and they're sometimes very, very powerful, sometimes very subtle. I pray for my brothers and sisters here in this room this morning. Lord, there are some who have found things on the internet, God, that are leading them toward a path of destruction. And Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, I pray You would set them free. I pray You would deliver them from this, God. Father, there are some who are involved in some form of sexual sin. And Lord, I pray today in the name of Jesus, I ask You to set these folks free, God, to deliver them from this trap, this snare that they are in, they're caught in. Set them free, forgive them, change them. Give them strength that they don't have. Give them power that they don't have. Lord, do a mighty work in their hearts. And Father, if there's even one today who doesn't know You, I pray You'd give them grace to just cry out to You in this moment and to say, oh God, I need You. Lord, give them grace to just say, oh Lord, forgive me of my sin. Change me. Save me, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. I want You, Lord, to be my Savior. I receive You. Father, give them grace right now. Give them strength to just cry out to You. Call on Your name. Believe in You. To turn from their life and their failure, their sin, their own goodness, their own righteousness, and turn to You for everything they need.